Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a joy to be here today in the house of the Lord. The words of David are often quoted in Psalms where he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You have to remember in those days, they didn't get to go to church every Sunday. There were just three, four, or five occasions a year that they got to ascend to the temple to worship. And they were special days and precious days. And he was so glad. There was times when Israel was in captivity and they were in Babylon. You hear the psalmist weeping and said, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. And you and I have this privilege every Sunday. And sometimes maybe we might take this for granted. But this is an awesome privilege today to live in a country where we have the liberty to worship as we choose. I don't see nobody's arms and slings today. You're here because you chose to be here. And I commend you for your choice. This is going to be a better week. Amen. Yes. Carol and I picked up a program off of CNN by Dr. Oz, who was a heart surgeon at Columbia University. And he says that people who attend church are less likely to have heart attacks from those who do not attend church. What he tells us is stress will kill you, and you go to church and you get some relief and release. Amen? And he said people who attend church, and this was not TBN, this was CNN, a secular network. He says that people who attend church regularly live 7.6 years longer than those who do not. You want to live a long time? Go to church. So it kind of helps put in where David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. My mom and dad made church so special. You hear about taking baths on Saturday and stuff. You know, I was raised in the country as a little boy. We lived beside the church, and our bathroom was about 50 yards out from the house. And we had a back porch, and Mother got a number 3 wash tub, and she brought that in. The wintertime, she brought it in the kitchen. Usually, it was on the back porch. It was a real treat if she let you take a bath out in the yard. And Mother would let you clean yourself till it got to your ears. And then Mama came, and if I have big ears, I should. My mother scrubbed my ears. But we took baths every Saturday night. That don't mean we were not clean, but that was a major thing on Saturday night, getting your ears washed, scrubbed. And then we polished our shoes and we got our clothes out and we studied our Sunday school lesson because tomorrow we get to go to church. We didn't have to. It was so special. And I look back now and some of the sweetest memories I have. My mother played the piano. She played only in 2 chords. If you didn't play it in C or G, well, you had to sing it in C or G. That's just the way it was. And I have a high range. I never was able to get the low notes. Boy, I can get up there. And when we sang, they said, let's everybody come to the choir. We didn't have a trained choir. Everybody would fit in the choir, usually. And almost everybody. Does anybody remember those days? Almost everybody went to the choir. And it was a high day. And people would brag on our singing. And there was no one who knew music. Mother played by ear. Played only in 2 keys, you know. And we didn't have this band. Oh, this little lady on this trumpet this morning. Didn't she bless you? And the music, I'm telling you, one of those songs, you really got, that's getting kind of borderline there. I didn't know where I was in church or where I was, but I liked it. It makes it hard to be still. It makes you want to wiggle. And I couldn't dance before I got saved, so getting saved hadn't helped me there. But it wasn't anything like that. It was just, they would just sing this singing out of their hearts. Just the, people would come and sit outside in cars because the windows were open and listen to us sing. And it was nothing but the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the songs of the redeemed. And I'm just telling you, I have the richest childhood. I wouldn't take love nor money for that wonderful heritage that's been given to me. I've often had people stand at the back door of the church and said, because sometimes I'd apologize talking about my parents and my family, my raising. Said, oh, please don't. Please don't. Please don't ever quit talking about your childhood and your past. Said, I just wished I would have had that. I would have been a lot further down the road. I'd had a lot less bruises and scars had I had that kind of life. And, you know, maybe you didn't have that. But you can make sure that your kids have that. Amen. I don't know. There's a lot of talk about curses and stuff. And I hate to give the devil, I hate to acknowledge anything like that, really. I don't give him any credit for anything he's ever done to make my road harder, way harder. But if there does seem to be patterns in your life or your family's life or curses or whatever you want to call them, you can break those. In the name of Jesus. And with a wonderful church family like this, you can give your kids a brighter future than you had. So he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And that's usually where we stop at. The next verse says, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And that's, to me, that's just a proclamation. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Pastor, when the doors of this church is open, my feet are going to stand in the gates of the temple, of the place of worship. Amen? That's just a declaration. I just think it'd be good this morning. Let's say it together. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. If the church is having a skating party, I'm going to be there. If they're having a work day, I'm going to be there. If they're having revival, I'm going to be there. They're having music, choir practice, I'll be there. They're having prayer meeting, I'll be there. Our feet, not just my feet, but come on, dads, our feet. I'm the man of my house. That's a joke. You aren't supposed to laugh. And it's really not a joke. It's just a little humor. How many of you fellas understand? I'm the man. I am the man. But I am the spiritual leader of my home. It is my responsibility. And it's my challenge to be a man of steel and velvet. Amen? A man of God. A godly father. A priest. A king. Hello? These are our jobs. And so he said, our feet shall stand within thy gates. Kind of reminds me of old General Joshua. He says, as for me and my house. As for me and Mama and Ronnie and Donnie and Randy, and now it's growing on. I got 7 grandkids. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. I've learned the things that you think are important, your kids will think are important. Amen. Right. So it's so good to be in God's house. And I just couldn't think of a sweeter pastor and his wife that I'd rather be with. And that's not light words. These are some of the most precious people that Carol and I know. We just love them. I was hoping he was claiming me as his dad a while ago, and he just left it spiritual. I would adopt him. He is so sweet. I don't have much to give him, but I'd adopt him. And we have Dina, you know, so I guess he goes along with it, right? We just love them and appreciate so much. I was driving down here this morning, and there's a lot of people here I'd love to acknowledge. If you'll let me just not miss one, I'll just say it's so good to be with all of you. And some of you, it's been a long time since I got to be in church with, and it's such a joy today. And some of you, your parents have been friends of mine for a lifetime in ministry, 40 years. And it's a joy to see their kids having their kids here in church today. Tamara's granddaddy was my buddy, is my buddy. And it just warms my heart to see the work of the Lord going on. But I was driving down here this morning saying, Lord, you have a place for this church family down here. You've, you know, y'all are a concern of us. And we're excited about investing with y'all. We believe in you. And y'all have proven yourselves. I don't know of any church that's been from one building to others for 8 years and still the pastor and his wife have not lost their focus or their vision, and you people have stayed with them. And y'all are to be commended. I'm just, go ahead. That's good. They're to be commended. They're to be honored. But I was thinking this morning, I prayed that coming down here, Lord, help us to help them. And he and I have driven around and looked at some places. I mean, we're not just talking. But I was sitting there a while ago, and the Lord brought this scripture to my mind when you were doing announcements, you know, and this brother was singing. I'm over here scratching in my Bible, and I really enjoyed your song. Your pastor doesn't seem to appreciate your talent as much as I do, but I really enjoyed. Where are you? I wanted to encourage you in the Lord right over here. I think there was a little private joke there, and I'm so spiritual, I miss a lot of light things. But Isaac was redigging his father's wells, and God had blessed them 100-fold. If you think God's not a good, I was thinking about God is good. And if you think God doesn't love to bless his folks, the psalmist said, the blessings of the Lord are upon, salvation belongs to the Lord, and his blessings are upon his people. You don't have to pray for blessings, just walk in the blessings and obedience. They're there, they're yours. Amen. You woke up this morning. Hello. I tied my shoes today. Hello. It's wonderful to have health and life and strength and family. We're a blessed people. And God blessed them, and their enemies became envious of God's blessings on their life. Wouldn't it be wonderful that if God's blessings could be so obvious that people would just be envious of you as a Christian? Hello. That's what happened in the Psalms 126. He says, we were like them that dreamed when the Lord turned again the captivity of Israel. Then was our hearts filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. And the heathen said, the Lord hath done great things for them. Since the Lord hath done great things for us, we're glad. It's almost amazing when the heathen reminds you of how good God has been to you. And God blessed Abraham, and God blessed Isaac, and we are the children of God. Amen? And Isaac was a son of Abraham. You and I are sons of God. Hello. Old Abe's pretty good, but I'd rather be the other side in the New Testament. Amen? And so they were envious, and they drove them out from the land because God had blessed them. And so they went out, and they did not defend what was theirs. They left and went out, and they dug a well. And the people strove with them there, and they called it Esek. And they left there instead of fighting for what was... This was his father's inheritance. But instead of fighting for what's his, they moved on, and they dug another well, and they called it Sitna. And the people strove with them over this well instead of demanding. How many knows the battle is the Lord's? It's not yours. You don't have to defend yourself. God will defend you. And when he does it, he does a good. When God opens a Red Sea, he don't just open part of it. He opens it up for you. His blessings are make us rich and add no sorrow. And so instead of striving what theirs, they moved out again. And I'm talking about out in an arid desert area. And God just puts a stream of water under where they're digging. And God makes another well for them. And they named it Rehoboth, because they didn't strive with them over the water. And they said the word Rehoboth, I did not know this. My great grandpa Granberry and my great grandpa and grandmother are buried in the Rehoboth Cemetery. On my mother's side, my great grandparents Giles and my grandparents Kent are buried in Rehoboth. And I had to go to preaching and studying the Bible to learn what Rehoboth means. The word Rehoboth means the Lord hath made room for me. And I sat there this morning and I said, Lord, you have got a Rehoboth for dominion. I just had to share that with you. The Lord just brought that to my mind. The Lord has a place. God has made room for y'all in this area that needs y'all. So if they knew how bad Listen, if the world knew how bad they needed this church, somebody would donate y'all about 10 acres of land. I'm just telling you, God would bless them because y'all are going to be a blessing. Going to be a blessing. You are a blessing. Well, it's a joy for Carol and I to be here. And Carol says, I never preach too long. I just visit too much. And so we've got the longest part over, I guess. She's looking at her watch. Everybody look at your watch. It is 10:14 in Albuquerque. And we're just going to go on Albuquerque time. Tom, it's so good to see you this morning. When I pastored in Greens Bayou, I had the privilege of pastoring this gentleman. It's a joy to be with you today. And each of you, I want to read to you this morning from the book of Mark, chapter 14. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. I wanted to fire y'all up for that. And my message is kind of different today. I enjoyed your music so much. I love you. You are a precious mother. She is a blessing to the body. Could you just give the Lord praise for her? I'm telling you, I don't want to be envious, but if I pastored a church, I would sound good too with this lady on the keyboard. I've been tempted just to sing this morning, just to listen to her play. Y'all are blessed, and tell her, amen. Let her know. Mark chapter 14. I feel like this is kind of where the Lord wants us to go. I felt this all week. I just love Pentecost. And I want to make sure that I leave a mark for Pentecost in the church. Amen. I believe that Acts 2 is for today. I believe Acts 2 will help you build a church here in this area. Amen. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit. This is a spiritual work. We try to do it in the arm of the flesh or the intellect of man, you're going to run on high ground. You're going to run on a high center. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to give up. But if you keep trusting in the Holy Ghost, He's given us some gifts in the church to enable us to do the work of the ministry with. And y'all are going to get a good dose of that next Sunday. I've seen your schedule of your services, and I'm excited for you. Carol and I are going to be... We're on vacation next Sunday, so I'm going to North Texas and preach. And Carlton, Texas, say, where am I preaching? Chandler, Texas. Anybody know where Chandler is? Chandler, all right. Got one smart lady over here. Chandler's up by Tyler, Texas. And Carolyn's sister is the secretary to the pastor there. And she has leaned on him to try to find me somewhere to preach while I'm on vacation. So we're going to be in Chandler, Texas next weekend. And then the days, the Tuesday after that, I'm going to be down in Port O'Connor doing a little missionary work. They have got a boat down there called Visitation, and I'm going to be out on Visitation Tuesday and Wednesday. Then I'm preaching that night for the pastor. So I'm trying to mix the ministry in with a little fun. You know, you have to enjoy life too. Amen. Do a little fishing and provide a little food for my family. I've done more boat riding than I have catching fish, but I've had fun. I just pray the Lord will, you know, there's a couple of concerns I have every week. Carol and I pastored all of our life. I've never been an evangelist, never been a missionary, I've just been a pastor. If I smell like sheep this morning, I have a right to. I've been tending to sheep 40 years. It's been the joy and the privilege of my life, tending to the flock of God. And the Lord just thrust us into a new area. Now we're in a different church every Sunday. And I have a couple of prayers. One is, Lord, help me to be where I can be a blessing. Not where I can preach, But help me to be at the right place. Many times on Sundays I leave, drive down the road, and I say, well, I believe we're at the right place today. And that is so fulfilling, just to know, you know, if I can just help somebody, hello, along this way, see somebody get saved, somebody healed, somebody encouraged, somebody thrilled, then our living is not in vain. The second desire of my life is to have a word from the Lord, not a sermon, not another sermon. If sermons would have saved the world would be saved. But Lord, let me have a word in season. Let me find this church and have something to say. So I'm going to stretch you today to try to do better. How many of you say, Pastor, there's room for improvement? Well, there's six of us. Maybe I need to preach on being truthful this morning. Maybe I missed it. I want to do better. I want to do better. I want to be my best. I don't want to be better than you. He is so gifted. He is so blessed. But I'm not trying to be better than him. I just want to be my best. Hello? I just want to become everything God saved me for. Call me to be. Amen? Amen? And I want to talk about this morning about a lady who did what she could while she could. And you're not going to pass through this life but once. Many of you in here today are young enough to be my children. And you just cannot believe how fast life flies. Carol and I are going to be celebrating 46 years of marriage this year. And it really just seems like just a short time ago that we walked down the aisle together. I saw her. I still remember her walking down that aisle. And we just had three children right off the bat when we got married. Had our first boy was 17 months old, and then we had twins. And my brother got me aside and counseled me a little bit. And he said, Jody said, when they start coming in litter, son, it's time to stop having kids. And I turned around about twice, and instead of holding my little babies, I'm holding their little babies. Life just passes by so fast. And if I had anything to change, I might have got out of the fast lane a little bit and just smelt a few more roses while I was passing through the line. Might just try to have done a little more for others than trying to make room for myself. Man, I thought if I could get me a boat, a new shotgun, a new hunting rifle, and a good deer lease, and all this stuff, I'd be happy. But happiness is really doing for others. Making your life count for Jesus is what it is. I want to read this to you. It's verses 1 through 11. In this 14th chapter of Mark, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft, speaking of Christ, and put him to death. But they said, not so on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it over his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and they said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Wouldn't you love for that to be said about you? Honestly, that Jesus could really say that he has wrought a great work. She has wrought a great work unto me. And then It's an interesting statement here. And it's not that Jesus didn't love the poor, but he says, you have the poor with you always. You have opportunities every day. If you've ever visited that country, they still have beggars sitting on the streets begging. Many of them with their feet gone from leprosy or an arm. You have the poor with you. You have opportunities every day to help needy people. But me, you don't have always. There are some things you don't have opportunities every day to do. I thought that is such an interesting statement he made here. She hath done what she could. That's the title of my message this morning. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. She didn't wait till after I died. She came aforehand. You ever heard of give me roses while I live? Verily I say unto you that wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priest and to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad. They promised to give him money, and he sought how he might conveniently betray Jesus. To help you understand, this event took place at Bethany, at Simon the leper who had been healed, his house. It was just a few days. In fact, it was only 6 days before the Passover, which would put this on Friday, just before the triumphant entry of Christ. And we read in John 12 and 1. And by placing this story between the accounts of the plot to arrest Jesus, Mark contrasts here the treachery of Judas and his leaders with the love and the loyalty of this woman. The ugliness of their sins makes the beauty of her sacrifice even more meaningful. Neither Mark's gospel, we find this in Mark, we find this in Matthew, and we find this in John. Neither Mark nor Matthew names the woman, but John tells us that it was Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, the story found there in John 11. She is found only 3 times in the Scriptures, and each instance she is found at the feet of Jesus. In the 10th chapter of Luke, we find the story of where Jesus visits their home, and you're familiar with the story of Mary and Martha. Mary was the one who sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was the one who was making the house tidy and preparing the meals. And in fact, Martha just really got upset with Mary because she didn't help her. Typical sisters. Carolyn can tell you some stories. She's 1 of 8. She has 4 sisters. And she got upset with Mary. And she even was so upset with her, she spoke to Jesus about speaking to her sister about being more tidy and thoughtful around the house. And Jesus made a statement that I want to just capture for just a moment. He says, Martha, Martha, you're careful about many things, but Mary has chosen the good thing, which cannot be taken away from her. If you'll study the story about the sowers, some seed fell by the wayside, some seed fell on stony ground, some fell among thorns. Some fell on good ground. The seed that fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked, and they became unfruitful. And he said, none of these were blatant sins. One of these was just the cares of this world, the cares of life. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing when you get your Bible and go kneel down to spend time in prayer, how many things you can think you need to be doing. I mean, it does us all this way. And we understand then why Jesus said, when you enter into your closet, shut the door. Turn off the telephone. Shut the door. Have intimacy with the Lord. And so Jesus said he was not condemning Martha for being a tidy housekeeper. Jesus loved to eat. He was just telling her that Mary had chosen. We find Mary at the feet of Jesus in this story. Then the second time we find her at the feet of Jesus was when Lazarus died. Jesus, you remember the story, he tarried purposefully 4 days. And when he came, Lazarus had already been buried. And Mary and Martha heard that Jesus had entered to the city. And Martha sat in the house. She was a little tiffed at Jesus. But you find Mary going out to the edge of the city and kneeling at his feet. She had some questions. She said, "Lord, had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And it's Mary who pulls this beautiful story about, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And we find her in her times of sorrows. We find her at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly here, we find her in John 12. We find her at Simon the leper's house. Again, at the feet of Jesus here, anointing him and washing his hair with her tears and bathing them with her hair. Thus we see in this story that Mary was a very spiritual lady. And this is a desire for each of our lives, is to know God better. To be spiritual is to know God better, to walk with Him, to know Him, to come to Him with all the needs of our life. She found at His feet her blessings. She brought at His feet her burdens and griefs. And she also brought at His feet her very best in life. Mary's anointing of Jesus must not be confused with a similar story recorded in the 7th chapter of Acts. And this is an unnamed woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And the scripture teaches us that she was a converted harlot who had expressed her love to Christ because of his gracious forgiveness of her many sins. But in the house of Simon the healed leper, we find Mary expressing her love to Christ because he was going to the cross to die for her. She prepared for burial as she anointed his head and his feet. She showed her love and devotion for Christ while he was still alive. Because she had sat at his feet and heard his words, she knew that Jesus would die and be buried. But she also knew the traditional care of him would not be needed because he was just going to be in that grave a very short time. So the normal anointing was after someone's death. She did prior to his death as an act of faith in the resurrection and her love and devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we combine the Gospels together, we learn that she anointed both his head and his feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that a woman's hair is her glory. So Mary surrendered her glory to the Lord, and she worshiped him with the most precious gift that she could bring unto him. We just see a total devotion of a life. This challenges me and my walk with God to be more, to become more, become everything I can for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an act of love and devotion that brought fragrance to the whole house. The scripture says that when she broke that seal on that alabaster box, the whole house was filled with fragrance. Have you ever had people just walk? Peter and John, they were ignorant, unlearned men, but it was obvious they had been with Jesus. There was an aroma. There was a fragrance in the house because of her. It was a very expensive offering that she brought to Jesus. This spikenard was imported from India, and a whole jar would have cost the equivalent of a common worker's annual income. I really don't know what a common worker's annual income, but I think I could be on a low side and say $15,000 to maybe $30,000. I really don't know exactly where you would put that, but I just want you to know this was not pennies that she brought to Jesus. It was probably the accumulation of a lifetime of wealth
that she brought to him. She gave him not out of her abundance. She gave him the best of all that she had. And this just challenges my life. God deserves our best. The Bible says, "He who spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with also freely give us all things?" God never gave us his best. He spared Abraham's son, but he never spared his son. He gave him for us. He gave his best, the spotless, the sinless. How could we ever offer to God anything less than our best unto him? In the Old Testament, they worshiped the Lord on the Sabbath day. The New Testament, we worship on the first day of the week. It's because it's the day Jesus arose from the dead. But I think there's also a significance. It is the first day of the week. And I just feel like my week is going to be better when I give him the first day of my week. Amen. The tithe, it's not just a 10%. It's the first fruits. Hello. It's not you spend 90%, and then if you have that left over, you bring that to the Lord. You bring that first unto God. I have pastored people who didn't wait till Sunday. They brought, when they got paid, they brought their tithe and they paid it. Said, I have had problems sometimes using, by the time Sunday got here, my paycheck was spent. Can I bring my tithe when I get paid and pay it here to church office? I said, yes, you may. Be happy to help you. It wasn't long until that became a habit of their life. It wasn't long until he didn't need to do that. He had made that a priority of his life. But until he did, we helped him do this. He later became a deacon in my church. God deserves not just 10%, but it's not a 90-10. It's all his. He just allows us and trusts that unto us that we may serve and work him. I want to give God my best. Amen. Many of you have a whole lifetime ahead of you, should Jesus tarry. Some of us have spent a lot of our lifetime, and we just can't afford, Pastor, to miss a moment or a day or an opportunity. Some of us just have a window left, and we just have to make sure that we use it to the best advantage of furthering the kingdom of God and bringing joy to the heart and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dallas Holmes was a rock and roll singer in my youth days when I was in the youth leader of the San Jacinto section. Dallas Holmes got saved. He was in the drug culture and he got saved and became an outstanding instrument in the hands of God. And he sang a song that just always challenged my life. He said, "If I had it to do over again," he wrote this song and sang it, "if I had it to do over again, I'd serve Jesus every day of my life." If you're here this morning and you gave your heart to Jesus and you've served him every day of your life, you're the richest person in this house. Amen? And maybe some of us are like the woman who came to as an act of appreciation for God being so merciful and gracious to us. But either way, we're all trophies of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary gave lavishly and she gave lovingly. She did not give begrudgingly. It was her joy. No one enjoyed the fragrance more than she did when she broke the seal and it filled the house. Her probably, if she had any regrets, that she just had one alabaster box that she would have given both unto him. And secondly, she was not ashamed to show her love for Christ openly. Jesus was not popular among the religious leaders at this time. To identify with him was to assure you of some rough going down the road. If you remember, all of the disciples died a martyr's death except John. They tried to kill him. He just wouldn't boil. According to history, he just wouldn't boil. It cost something. It cost them something to be a Christian. But Mary openly identified and expressed her love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, make me like her. Mary could have written the song, "I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to call his name. I'm not ashamed." How does that song go? "I'm not ashamed to hold his blessings. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed." She was delighted to be a part of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three consequences to her act of worship that I want to share with you. Number one was the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment that she poured upon the head and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be wonderful today if each of our acts of love and devotion to God could fill dominion with beautiful ointment unto God. I feel like it was this morning. I was greatly blessed in the worship of this church. I could have left here after we received the offering and felt like I'd been to church today. It was a precious, blessed time. The beautiful scriptures you read and the comments, the prayer times, those things touch my heart and life. When we worship the Lord and give our bless to God, it always makes a difference in the house where we're worshiping. You know, years of pastoring, I was called on to go into many different homes. And there were homes that I would go into and I would feel love and I would feel devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other homes I would go in and I would sense fear or confusion or frustrations in homes. Our life is influencing others for Jesus. Let's make sure that the church that we worship in is going to be a better place because we're there. Hello? Someone said, if everyone was like you, what kind of church would you have? Let's make sure this is going to be a better place, a sweeter place, because we worship here, because I lift my voice in praise. I lift my hands in devotion and love for God. I submit my life to the Lordship of Jesus and the leadership of this church, and I choose to be a blessing and not be a hindrance to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The house was filled with fragrance because of her gift. The second consequence I want to talk to you about was the disciples who were led by Judas criticized Mary for wasting her money. Won't everybody understand your devotion to Christ and to God? As you build a church and purchase land, many of you are going to have the opportunities to make sacrifices like Mary has. And there may be members of your family who do not understand your love and devotion for Jesus. I had a man tell me one time, his name was Jack Bray in Kingsville, Texas. He says, I don't know how you ever get any members in your church if you require them to give 10% to be a member of your church. He was asking me whether the requirements of membership. We went down. I just touched on the tithe. I said, all of our people tithe, are expected to tithe. And they all tithe. Some of them give it to the church, the Lord. Some of them give it to the doctor. But the Lord collects his tithes one way or the other. He says, I don't know how you ever get anybody to give, to be a member of your church if you require that of them. I said, well, tithing's really not a financial thing. It's a spiritual thing. And when your heart's right with God, it's a joy. It's a joy to give for God. I invited Jack to church. Jack told me, he said, I've got medals this high at my house of rewards for, I was raised in a Christian orphanage. I've been to church all my life. I'm a military man. I've been around the world. I worshiped in Buddhist temples. You name it, I've been there. I've never found God at church. And I said, well, if you'll come Sunday morning, I'll tell you how to find God. Sunday morning, Jack and Gertrude and their baby come walking in the side door. He didn't even know where to come into church at. I was teaching Sunday school. They walked in the side door right beside the altars. There was three rows of pews. I greeted them and asked them to be seated, like to my right side, like here. And there was two rows of pews. They sat here. And they sit right on the front row. I preached that morning about Abraham building an altar. God tell him, says, if you'll build me an altar, I'll meet you there and I'll speak to you there. And I said, I can tell you how to find God. You built you an altar. And God will meet you there at that altar. I gave an invitation that morning and that whole family, their child, Jack and Gertrude both came and knelt down and gave their heart and life to Jesus. Had medals this high, but never found Jesus at church. And I led them to an altar prayer, and they were gloriously saved. Well, it wasn't but a day or two, he was in my office, and he was explaining to me that he wanted to pay his tithes, but he wasn't even able to really pay his bills. He said, they moved me to the Philippine Islands, and while I was there in the Philippine Islands, we had to come back home. We had bought a trailer house there and furniture, and we couldn't sell it. I'm still trying to pay for a house and furniture. I let someone take up the payments, and
they let it go. And I'm paying for a house and furniture in the Philippine Islands. I'm paying for a house and furniture here. I work for the military base. I work for an electric shop that rewinding motors is a second job. And then I do this air conditioned work. I'm working three jobs and I don't make enough money to pay my bills and feed my family. If I feed my family, my bills have to go. And you're asking me, I'm supposed to give 10% to the church. I just don't have it. Well, I'm not a financial wizard, but I do love to work with figures. And I sat down and helped him do a little, rather sort of a little consolidation. And we sat down there in a little time, and he owed quite a few people, but he didn't owe a whole lot to some. And we figured out how we could consolidate his bills. Hello, he could work just two jobs, not three. He could just work at the electric shop in there, and he could pay his bills and pay his tithes and feed his family and have a dollar or two to go to Burger King or whatever it was left over. He walked out of my office the happiest man in the world when he found the joy of giving and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Jack didn't understand this till he got saved. Hello? There's folks that won't understand you're giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you'll be a giver, God will never be a debtor to you. He will always bless you. When we bought our land at Greens Bayou, I have sat right where y'all were. We couldn't afford it. The largest loan our church had ever made was $55,000. And they had refinanced it. And I'm talking about 38 or 9 years ago. And they had refinanced that before I came there. And so the property we were buying cost $307,000. Can you just imagine? We had about 125 people. And I was the only rich one there. You know, all preachers has got money. Y'all know that. But God helped us, and we had the grandest time. We had folks went to the bank and made loans and borrowed money to give. We had to raise $107,000. We could only borrow $200,000, so we had to raise $107,000. We had a lady sold her horse and put it in the church. She didn't put her horse in the church. She put the... She put them on one of my deacons. He became one of my deacons. Roger and Ivy sold her horse, and we robbed, begged, and but we just, I'm talking about our piggy banks. We did everything. We borrowed money, and we come up and Brother Renaud called me and told me, said, are you ready? You got your money ready? And I said, well, just about ready. The lawyer had called me the day before, said they don't think you can perform on this earnest money contract, and their lawyers already called me and told me not to expect any extension, any mercy. They have a sale for this land for more than you're giving them. They're hoping you can't come through. So don't go down there tomorrow thinking we're going to have any mercy or favor or extension of a contract. So I had $88,000 and about $400, and I needed $107,000. And listen, there wasn't anything left. There wasn't anything left. I didn't know a place to go. Brother Renaud called me. As our superintendent said, is everything okay? You got your money ready for tomorrow? And I said, well, just about. Do you have it all? I said, well, not quite. You know, I don't like to confess defeat. Hello? I wouldn't tell him. He said, you still like a little? And I said, yes, sir, I like a little. And he said, well, come by my office in the morning on your way up, and my wife and I have a check for you. And I went by the office the next morning, and there was a check for more than enough to close. I left there with that piece of property in about, I can't remember, $11,000 or $12,000 check that they wrote us back. How God, he did not make this a gift. He made it as a loan to us. We was able to sell a house, but we were able to close our property. And every family in that church, you know what, Pastor? When everybody becomes a part of this, they take ownership. This won't be Brother Thurston's church. This will be your church. Hello?
when you and your wife make payments back to the bank or the loan institution of $100 a month to try to get your pledge and stuff paid back, this won't be their church. This will be my church. This will be our church. And that's what it has to be. Hello. I used to tell Green's bio, don't tell folks this is Brother Granberry's church. Someday I won't be here. Now, I couldn't foresee that. I thought I was going to heaven from there. But you know that day has arrived. Do you know this morning I didn't go to 485 Maxie Road. I came to League City, Dominion Church on Main Street. I'm in a different place. But the church is still going on and going forward. And those people, that became their church. And they bought into that. The world won't understand. They criticized Mary for her gift. But you know, it's interesting to note, in Mark 14 and 4, the word is translated here waste. But the same word in John 17 and 12 is translated perdition when it calls Judas the son of perdition. That could have been translated Judas the son of waste. Isn't that a tragedy? And the Lord applied this to Judas's heart. Judas criticized Mary for wasting her money while he wasted his entire life for God. I want us to make our life count. Amen? You're going to have an opportunity in a few months to make an investment in the eternal kingdom of God. And I pray God will just begin to talk to you now. What can we do and how can we do? And I don't want you to go sell your horse, but you know, if the Lord needs your little donkey, well, he can have him. Amen? The third thing that Jesus did, the consequences of this, was Jesus commended Mary and he accepted her gift. You know, that should be the goal of every one of our lives, is to have the blessings of God, of making God happy and making God's heart blessed by our life. Jesus commended Mary. He said, leave her alone. She hath wrought a good work unto the Lord. She hath done what she could. I don't know what else you need to have said about you. Amen? Amen? Leave them alone. They have wrought a good work unto me, Jesus said. She hath done what she could. And our goal in life, Paul says, we labor whether absent or present that we may be accepted of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be the goal of every one of our lives. Well, we see when Mary gave her best at the feet of Jesus, she started, I'd like to call it a wave of blessing. Have you ever been to the dome? Have you ever gone to a ball game with Rod Vincent? Rod don't just start a wave in church. He starts it wherever he is. He causes a ruckus. He has a riot or revival wherever he is. And she just started a wave of blessings. I want you to notice this. She was a blessing to Jesus when she shared her love. Some of you probably never think about it. You bless the Lord. Your being here today. Your worship. I was watching a while ago. We were singing about, I'm going to lift my hands to God. That blesses the heart of God. The Lord loves to hear your voice. I've got a little grandbaby. When I'm away from her 3 or 4 days, I have 7 grandbabies, but there's one that Papa just has to hear her voice. And she's got a real deep voice, and I can just hear her voice. Man, I'm feeling better already. The Lord loves to hear your voice. You bless Him with your worship and your praise unto Him. You know, I don't think we realize that God has emotions like this. You can make God sad. You can make God happy. David said, I will bless the Lord. He talked, I will make God happy. Many of us have grieved Him by our life before we became a Christian. Let's spend some time bringing joy and happiness to the heart of our Savior. Having some intimate time with Jesus. He said, when you go into your prayer closet, close the door. He just would love to hear your voice. And how she made Jesus happy. Could I ask you today, are you bringing joy to the heart of the Lord? I really want to, don't you? I really want to make Him happy. I really want to bring joy to the heart of the Lord. When the Lord thinks of me, I hope He has good thoughts. I hope His heart is blessed. I hope He said, you know, He's not doing much, but He's doing the best He can. He's doing what He can. Hello? He's doing what He can for the cause of Christ. Secondly, she brought blessings to her home. She filled it with her fragrance. Is your home a better place because you're there?
You know, there was a song written a few years ago, said, "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be." And the story goes about a man who'd gotten saved. And before he got saved, when he would come home, that even the kids sometimes would run and hide behind the door. Dad was drinking. He was in a bad mood. He was mad. He was angry. But I want to be those that your kids run out to the gate to meet you, help you carry your lunch. My kids, as little, they would meet me at the gate and carry my lunchbox into the house. I'd walk in the house and my wife would have our evening meal sitting on the table. All I had to do was go wash my hands and sit down at the table. What a delightful place for, I want to make life blessing and joy and happiness to God our Father. My grandmother Granberry was the one who brought Pentecost to our entire family. We would have possibly never known about Pentecost if she had not gone to the meeting and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mary brought blessings to her home. It was filled with her fragrance. Were it not for Mary, her village, Bethany, would possibly never be remembered. But her town was blessed because she lived. I want you to notice this. Her church was blessed. Her home was blessed. Her town was blessed because, in remembrance, because of Mary. Say it with me. Bethany. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. Mary of Bethany. Its fragrance filled the house of Simon the leper. And last of all, because of these records of the gospel, the church is continuing today to be blessed because of the act of this woman. Jesus said that she gave her best in faith and worship. She hath wrought a good work on me. She hath done what she could. I just have a feeling, Pastor, that none of us alone can do what God wants done here in this church. But if every one of us will just do what we can, we have diversifications of gifts and talents and blessings. And if every one of us, from the boys and girls to the mamas and daddies to us papas and grandmas, if we do what we can, this town is going to be filled with our fragrance. Your homes are going to be blessed of God. Your relationship with Jesus is going to be precious and meaningful. When you get up in the morning, you won't say, "Good Lord, morning." You'll say, "Good morning, Lord. Thank you for a good night's rest. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my family. Thank you for your blessings in my life." Till we learn to be thankful for what we have, we will never enjoy anything that we have in life. "She hath wrought a good work unto me." I wouldn't do this for nobody but God. Though I love what I do, the ministry I would have never chosen but for God. And you're doing what you can in this church for the goodness and the glory of the Lord. The gifts and talents this lady has could have been made into lots of money if she had played in clubs and stuff. But she has chosen to honor the Lord. You bless this church every Sunday. And you bless the heart of your God. And you bless your daughter and son-in-law. And you bless this district. And she's just one of many in this place today. I just want to challenge you. You don't have to be great. Just do what you can. Hello. If I can just help somebody along the way. I got out of my car and there was a young gentleman. Well, he's young to me. Everybody's young to me when you get older than I am. There was a young gentleman came out and greeted me. He's standing right over here. Doesn't he look young to y'all? Huh? Don't you think he looks young to y'all? He welcomed me, made me feel so special this morning. I walked up to the door of that church and there was a young man standing there. And he said, "Boy, we dressed up today for you. We're so glad. I've got on my best for you today." Where are you? Stand right here. He said, "I've got on my best for you today." And I walked in. I shook 10 hands before I even got to the pastor's office. Hello, people doing what? Wouldn't it be terrible to walk in here and nobody opened the door for you and you didn't know where to go, the left or right or the basement or the roof. You didn't know where to go. But there's folks here with gifts that God has blessed and a smile on their face and the love of Jesus in their heart. And they remember maybe when they first went to church and
they felt a little uncomfortable and didn't know anybody, and somebody welcomed them and made them feel at home and brought them up. And it wasn't long till they found their way like Jack Brady did at Auckland. They found Jesus as their Savior. I'm going to tell you something. We can do what we can to make this the greatest church in this city. Hello. 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 And when we do it, we're doing it unto Him. Our first church was Magnolia, Texas. We went there August the 1st, 1965. And we were appointed there. There were 17 there that day. There was my wife and I and our three boys and her brother and sister. And there was nine of them. Nine and seven is 16, isn't it? There were 16 of us there. And there was a little couple there, and I won't tell you too much about the story, but they were some of the poorest people I've ever known. Poor people would have called them poor. They had no livelihood. They owned a little piece of land. They couldn't get help from the government. He was a sick man, unable to work, and they cleaned chickens they plucked hens for a man who owned had laying hens, and when the hens quit laying, they harvested them and they brought them and they gave Brother and Sister Goodson 25 cents apiece to pluck those hens to clean them. Carol and I have ate at their table before. A little four-room house with a little trail going out the back. They did have running cold water. The house was 20 by 24. No closets. It was uneven. They were just poor people. We've sat down and had duck eggs, scrambled duck eggs with poke salad cut up in it or some green onions. That was what they had. And we sat and we ate with them at their table. And they just loved us so much. Carolyn mostly drove to pick them up and bring them to church and take them back home. Sometimes I did. It was usually her. We did this for 3.5 years. He called me his son. He never had any children, and he just loved me like a son. Respected me as a pastor, but loved me like a son. Estelle Lucille Goodson. He passed away, and I went out there one day and to visit her, and she said, I want to go be with my daughter. And I helped her move to Hallsville, Texas. And her sister, not her daughter, her sister. And she said, I helped her move up there, got her a little trailer house. She'd never had anything like this. It was a brand new trailer house. It could be 2-bedroom or 1-bedroom. We made it 1-bedroom where it would be a big bedroom. She had running hot and cold water, brand new trailer house. She lived 15 months and passed away. And I went up and dug, and those rocks dug the septic tank, put the lines in, and had blisters from that. There was so rocks, and that it was red clay rocks. But it was so fulfilling to do this for this lady. And when she passed away, the funeral home called me, Sullivan Funeral Home, and said, Miss Goodson, I passed away last night, and the family said that you would, her sister said, and son said that you would make the arrangements for them. And I said, sir, I'm her former pastor. She's like a mother to me, but I don't want to get involved with her finances. Is there money to bury her? And there was. And I said, let them make those arrangements, and I'll come up and conduct the service. And we did, and we went and placed her little body out in Hallsville Cemetery. And Carol and I drove back by the next time we was in that area, and there was no tombstone there. So Carol and I went and bought her a tombstone. Sister Goodson, when we first came to the church, we had a mission service. We had Arthur and Doris Hokett. They were brand new missionaries. I remember the day we had them on May the 15th, 1966. We put an ad in the paper. It was the biggest thing that happened in our lives, having a missionary come to our church. Sister Goodson didn't have any money. There was the plucking chickens times was not at that time, and she went out and picked berries and sold them for 50 cents a gallon, and she brought her missions gift to the church, and then she made a missions pledge of 50 cents a month. with no income. She was the dearest lady. I could go over there and see her. She always had the victory. You could pray and she would, you know, she'd get happy. And this is, woo, the little voice kind of weep. She'd, woo, woo, woo. And I don't know how she could walk with her eyes closed because that house was so uneven. But we wouldn't pray 10 minutes till Sister Goodson would be up, walk, woo, speaking in tongues. Just, she just lived in glory. And she had nothing on earth to be happy about. Poorest people I ever met. So Carolyn has had her tombstone made. And we put Lucille Goodson, I forget the dates of her life. And then we put a little inscription on her tombstone. She hath done what she could. I hope that you and I can live our life so unselfishly to the Lord and to others that when we die, the Lord can say, she hath wrought a good work unto me. She hath done what she could. The church is not built usually from the millionaires' millions. It's usually built from the people like you and I doing what we can. And that's really all that God requires of you. When you do what you can, He don't expect anything out of you. He is not unreasonable. He has gifted you. He knows what. He may sometimes nudge you and try to get you to do better because He knows your giftedness. But He never requires anything out of you that you're not able to do. But He does. He gave His best, and He expects our best unto Him. Now, let me tell you, most of us say, well, Pastor, I don't have an alabaster box. I don't have anything expensive to give. Let me tell you, what she gave first was her life to Jesus. Hello? You may not have a year's wages saved up that you can give to the Lord. That's really not what the Lord's after. What the Lord really wants is you. Whether you're 16, 10, 60, 40, 30, what Jesus just really wants is you. When He has you, He has everything you have. Hello? This morning, probably most every one of us in here, if the Lord would ask you to do something, you would do anything in your power. And all He wants is you. The greatest gift you can give Jesus is just your life. If you're here this morning and you've never sang that little song, Into My Heart, Come Into My Heart, Lord Jesus, that's the greatest gift. There's nothing you can do to make heaven happier than just give your life to Jesus. Jesus had rather have your life today than $50 billion of gold stacked up. Jesus didn't die for wealth. He died for lost souls such as you and I today. That's who I want to go for this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus, that's what I want you to bring today. Your heart to Jesus. You say, Pastor, it's black, it's ugly, it's sinful. All of ours were. But Jesus' blood can wash them and He can make you a vessel of honor for His glory. When you do that, God will be happy. God will be happy. The second thing I want you to do is do it while you can. Do it while you can. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, but me you have not with you all. What He says is there's a window of opportunity this lady has captured that many haven't. And whatever God's dealing with you about doing, I want you to do. Let me tell you what I did this week. Carol and I sat in a restaurant in Kerrville, Texas, in Chili's, and a sweet little lady waited on us. And I asked her, are you a mother? And I was going to ask her, did she have a nice Mother's Day? And she says, yes, I have a little 9-month-old baby. And then she began to tell us about this baby's physical condition. They have to give this little baby 12 shots a day of insulin. And said places on her little leg has gotten calloused and they've had to go to other places. And I just sat there, and we're in a restaurant, and I don't know this lady, and she doesn't know me, but something was telling me, tell her Jesus heals. Tell this lady about the stripes I bore in my body. I said, have you seen the Passion of Christ? You probably know that Jesus shed his blood for you to be forgiven. You probably know that. But did you know when they beat him, how unmercifully he was beaten? Did you know what those stripes was for? And I told her about Jesus forgives and Jesus heals. And I said, your little baby, I want you to pray. I want you to go home tonight. And I want you to lay hands on your little baby. And I want you to pray for Jesus to heal this little baby. She says, we have already done that. And the doctor says his diabetes is in remission, has been in remission for about a month. And I was just sitting there. I was just sitting there saying, you know, man, I can't have church here in Chili's. I can't. This lady's got a lot of people to wait on. I don't have time to do all this. And I'm fixing to get up and walk out of here, and I may never see her again. And there's a little baby that needs healing. And I have got to take advantage of this window. Lord, please give me wisdom how to take advantage of this situation and not of this lady. And I just shared with her a little bit. And I thought later, well, why didn't you pray for her baby? That's what the Lord told me to do. He said, you tell her I heal, and you ask her for her and her husband to lay their hands on their little baby. And then she told me, we already have. But this lady knew nothing about healing. She knew nothing about the stripes. This is what I'm talking about. Some of you have windows of opportunity every week. I don't want you to get a soapbox and make a spectacle out of yourself in life. I just want you to do what you can while you can. While you can, and make a difference. I may never see those people again. Or I may see those people again and hear a wonderful testimony of what the Lord has done. I want you to stand with me this morning. I told you this is going to be different. But I just have done what I could. Hello. This morning to share my heart with you. Today, this morning, our Father in heaven, let's pray it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here in Dominion Church this morning, here on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day, Lord, you know the things this congregation has need of this morning. Give us this day our daily bread, that which we need in life for this moment of our life. And forgive us, O Lord. Pray it with me. Lord, forgive us of our trespasses, our shortcomings. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive others who have trespassed against us. And Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. I just pray this morning, God, that you have spoken to every one of us individually. And I just pray this morning as we stand before you, we may offer to you the most precious possessions of our life. I just wonder if there are those this morning who sense the need. Pastor, I just need to come and stand this morning as an act of faith and just kind of driving a nail down this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. That I just want to make a new commitment to Him this morning of doing what I can while I can. Would you join me in these altars this morning? And if you don't know Jesus, would you come and bring to Him your heart? As we wait for just a moment, would you do that? Would you just step out and come? I would feel, I would be pleased that this whole front would be filled with people who said, I want to do what I can. I want to do what I can for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give my life, my heart, my all to Him, or do what I can. Would you come and stand around this front, and we'll have a special time of prayer with you this morning. Who will be first? Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. Let's don't be in a hurry.